they start to jump in when it's near the top, and then they double down when it's right about to turn. And so you should never act on emotion. What you should act on is basic risks and factors you set up that will help you achieve your financial goal, whatever that may be.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Finance Friday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. You guys know the drill. Every Friday, we're coming at you with all things personal finance because we want to get your money working for you, not only harder, but smarter. Because after all, we know it's not what you make, but what you keep. Guys, hope you're having a great start to the new year. And last week's episode, I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you downloaded that tracker. I've seen some of you already have. I've seen the emails coming in, the requests coming in. So that's great. I would, one, urge you to do so. Go back and listen to last week's episode. And really, that's episode 145. And really just take a listen because we're talking about the habits, all about habits, tracking your habits, reach your goals, whether it be financial or just personal, career, whatever it happens to be. We can throw out a goal. We can throw that out on the wall. But what do we actually need to do? The actions we need to take to achieve that goal and to consistently achieve those actions. It's about habits, right? Because motivation can only get you so far, but you need discipline and discipline through creating habits. So we created a habit tracker that you can track your habits daily, weekly, and monthly throughout the entire year. So take a look at that. Today's episode, I also want to talk about goals, but more specifically your financial goals. Because after all, on Fridays, we talk all things personal finance. So I want to talk about the number one thing that can hurt you from achieving your goals, that can impede you from achieving those financial goals. And it's usually the number one thing that limits people from getting where they want to be when it comes to their personal finances. And that's emotion, acting on emotion. No better way to impede your financial goals, or no better way to than act on your emotion than to create potential financial ruin. It really can lead to poor decision making when you're basing a decision off emotion, how you feel, instead of, I want this, but do you really need it? Is this something you need? Will that want get in the way of your actual goals? And hence another reason to have something like a habit tracker that I talked about in last week's episode, because it really keeps you on track. So instead of making an emotional decision, you'll go back to that tracker and say, well, if I do that, am I going to be following these habits that I should be following to reach my goals? And if the answer is no, then you shouldn't be doing that, right? But it goes even further beyond that, because everyone knows they're powerful, right? Fear, optimism, love, they're all powerful emotions that can make us do things that we normally wouldn't do. Now, we've all been there. I know I have. And when you're at a heightened state of emotion, whatever that emotion may happen to be, we are not acting the same, or we're less likely to act the same than we would at just like a base level emotion. And so it's especially important not to act on these emotions when it comes to money, when it comes to finance, right? So for instance, maybe you're investing in a certain instrument and maybe the market is going up, 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 up. And so you want to buy more and you're willing to pay at a premium. And then the bubble bursts and then you could potentially lose it all. Or maybe you really want a house really badly. This actually was kind of the impetus of why I wanted to do this episode, because I've talked to certain people, especially in certain markets where the market is still hot, right? Rates are high. Prices have been high. Maybe they've receded a little, but in certain markets, it's still very competitive because it obviously comes down to a supply and demand dynamic, right? So if there's only so much supply, but there's a lot of demand, you're not going to be able to get a bargain on a house right now. For instance, there was this one house that someone I know was looking at. It was a nice house, but it wasn't their like dream house. It had a lot of things that weren't ideal. For instance, one bathroom that was up on the second floor connected to the master bedroom, and amongst other things, small, needed an addition, and it going to go for over asking, like a decent amount over asking. And the asking was already, in my opinion, way too high. But I want to get at the point of acting on emotion. Some of those people, obviously we don't know their financial situation, the others that were making offers, but some of them were most likely acting on emotion because the individual I was talking to almost submitted an offer. And that was definitely based on emotion because they were coming from a place of scarcity. They were thinking, well, it's not my dream home, but it's one of the better ones I've seen. Is there another one like that going to come up? Like the demand here is crazy and lack of supply. Am I going to get another opportunity? I should just go in, right? And that's a decision you don't want to make. Yes, I've said you marry the home and date the rate, right? yes, to a certain extent, right? You got to actually love the home and see yourself being there for a certain amount of time. And then later down the road, you can refinance into a lower rate. But this individual told me that they thought it would just be like in a house and maybe be in for a couple of years. Well, if you're going to overpay on a home, have a high rate, and then in a couple of years, you want to sell it, you're very dependent on where the market's at that moment. Maybe if the supply demand dynamic is still the same, then maybe, yeah, maybe you can get out of it. Most likely after a 2-year, 3-year hold on something you're really overpaying for, you're not going to do well at the end when you try to sell it that quickly. You haven't paid down enough principal. Most likely the market hasn't increased to where that premium you paid is now gained value. So we don't want to act on emotion. And that's any investment, investing in stocks, right? You know, as Warren Buffett says, be greedy when others are fearful and when others are greedy. That's easier said than done. A lot of people act on emotion and people see more people winning that the whole FOMO, fear of missing out, really shines bright. And people put blinders on and greed comes out and they make hasty decisions. They disregard their financial goals. They ignore risk factors that might be present just because that blinder is on, that they just want to make more money because everyone else is. And then what happens? There's a bubble. And then on the flip side, when everyone's fearful, there's very few that actually act, right? That's easier said than done because fear is a strong emotion. A lot of times even stronger than, you know, that optimism and that greed. And then people don't act and then they miss that opportunity. And then they go back on that vicious cycle. They miss that opportunity and now the market's coming back up and now they start to jump in when it's near the top and then they double down when it's right about to turn. And so you should never act on emotion. What you should act on is basic risks and factors you set up that will help you achieve your financial goal, whatever that may be. So if it's to have a certain return based on risk, you should be following that. If it's to save a certain amount of money, then you should be putting away enough every month to achieve that. If it's to pay down debt, you should be paying down whatever that a month, you should be putting that into paying that down, not going to add on to that because, you know, your emotions are shining through and your friend down on the street just went on a $5,000 trip and now you got to do it. But now you're adding on to that debt and just kicking that can down the road. No, it's being disciplined, creating the habits of the individual would have that's living the life that you want. It's really what you need to look for. Imagine that individual or even go find that individual that's living a life that you want. Really find out what their habits are and emulate that. Because when we act on emotion, nothing good ever comes of it. When I'm thinking of making like maybe a big purchase or an investment, I think of it as never a want, but it's not something I really need either, right? I will do it if it makes sense, but I don't need this. I actually learned this from my dad growing up. I was with him when he was buying a car for my mom, and they wanted a certain price that he knew just wasn't appropriate. Kind of similar to now in the sense of the market's high, and people, then they wanted a certain price. Dad knew it wasn't worth it. And so he just got up, left. He chased him out of the building, said, "What are you doing? Like this, your wife wants this car. This is a great price. We can't do better than this. You're not going to get it better anywhere else." And then he just looked at him and said, "Maybe so, but I don't need it. So you guys have a good day." And then what happened? They gave him the price he wanted. And that is that. Never back yourself in a corner where you're going to act on emotion because you need it or want it. Just do it because it makes sense. So if it's an investment, like what we do at Greenbrier, we have certain criteria that we look at in a property. It's vintage, which means it's age, how many units it has, what's the condition of the property, what we call what's left the meat on the bone, right? So how many units can we actually renovate? Has like 80%, 60% of it already been renovated? And that's not something we want to do because we can't force as much appreciation, right? What's kind of the cap rate going in relative to what we feel is in the market and where we can actually move that cap rate by forcing appreciation? There's a lot of other factors we look in, but I just wanted to highlight that when we set that criteria, we know what we want and what we don't want before we even really dive into it, before we can even, there can even be a potential of a emotional attachment or decision, right? It's just based on, did it hit these numbers, right? What's the debt coverage ratio? Okay. What's the debt yield? Well, now we know what kind of debt we can get. So what's the capital stack we're going to build? Can we get as close to doubling our investors' money in 5 years? Okay, let's take a look. The 1% rule is the potential current market rent. Is it at least 1% of the price per door? Look at that. And then when we're first looking, is it, you take 50% of the gross potential rent divided by what we think is the market cap. What's that price? And is it in the ballpark? Should we even proceed? It's just making decisions based on your criteria, based on facts, not on emotion. At the end of the day, that's what's going to get you to your financial goals. And yet, when you're doing it, you may have to tweak things here and there because we learn, right? We don't know everything. We never will, but that's the fun of it. And so, yeah, you're going to have to tweak it. As long as you're learning, falling forward, and sticking to your criteria, you can achieve your goals. Just don't act on emotion. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. And as always, easy doesn't pay well, and instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get out there and work hard for your money, but have your money work hard for you so we can all create the lives of our dreams and we'll make the world a better place. All right, everybody, catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's a little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is an investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and of course share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.